Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. During your time in yeshiva, you'll learn about the stories of many great Jewish leaders in history and of the modern era. You're spending your time learning in an institution with Talmidei Chachamim of the highest caliber. Some of those people were born into great rabbinic families, and some learned at close quarters with great rabbis. You might have thought that Rabbi Sacks was born great, and certainly that he achieved greatness, and that he did. But in his own words, or rather paraphrasing Shakespeare's, he felt that greatness was thrust upon him. Rabbi Sacks' childhood was typical of many Jewish families in London in the 1950s and 60s. His family were active in the community. He went to non-Jewish primary and secondary schools, and went straight to university to study philosophy at Cambridge. And it was there that his life changed forever. The Six-Day War had a profound effect on Rabbi Sacks' life. And like many Jews, he discovered a deep love for the State of Israel, and he was overwhelmed with Jewish pride. One of his summers, he decided to explore his Judaism. He traveled to America, and he sought inspiration from some of the greatest Jewish leaders around. He bought a bus ticket from Los Angeles to New York and spent 3 days on a bus, and he went to meet the Rebbe and Rav Soloveitchik. And he summarized that summer, as only Rabbi Sacks knows how, with one witty, beautiful, mirrored aphorism: "The Rebbe challenged me to lead. Rabbi Soloveitchik challenged me to think." And indeed, his thought and his leadership changed the Jewish world. And when we reflect on his contribution to Jewish communities, his moral clarity, his global leadership, his erudite Torah insight and worldview, and the library of religious and philosophical works that he left us, I can't help but think that all this would not have been were it not for one summer in his university years. And that is perhaps why, despite being one of, if not the most sought after Jewish speakers in the world, he is someone that I and other countless young Jewish people in Britain had a very deep and personal connection with, because he always made time to speak with and encourage young people, students, and youth movements. My first memory of Rabbi Sacks was when I was 11 years old, also in 1997, and he visited my shul in Woodford. And I knew then that he was a superstar, and incredibly famous, and I made sure to have a picture with him, which I still have today. But it was as I grew up and held higher positions in Bnei Akiva that I had the opportunity to spend some quality time with the chief, as he was fondly known. From meetings in his home and office, shiurim in the Bnei Akiva Bayit, and even the occasional phone call, the relationship with Rabbi Sacks was a significant part of being a mazkir of Bnei Akiva, and it was surreal for a man who was friends with Prince Charles, the Prime Minister, and the Pope to make time for you and know your name. And in this, I was not alone. At times of joy and sadness, he made sure to be there for the youth. I have fond memories of his meaningful words at the service we organized, memorial service we organized for one of Bnei Akiva's founders, Aryeh Handler. And equally, I'm privileged to have danced with him at the annual Yom HaTzmut Tefillah. Over 1,000 people attend that tefillah that Bnei Akiva organize each year. And at the end of it, all the adults leave and all the youth dance. And Rabbi Sacks always made a point of staying to dance with the youth. And you could see the immense joy in his face and his love for Israel as he did so. With my friends and peers, we all knew that we were in the presence of greatness. All my close friends from my Bnei Akiva days felt and feel that Rabbi Sacks was their life rabbi. He may not have taught us in a classroom, but his character, leadership, and Torah was a model for us to follow. We quoted him, read his books, learned his Torah, and went to his shiurim. Yet at the same time, we felt close enough to Rabbi Sacks that he was part of our lighter moments too. I can recall many a friend's wedding, where the best friend's speech aimed to slip in as many Rabbi Sacks books titles as possible. The Home We Built Together, Radical Then, Radical Now, The Dignity of Difference. Impersonating Rabbi Sacks' grand oratory was commonplace in the Madrachim's tent on Machaneh. As I became particularly well known for this, I once recorded a tribute to a friend who was leaving a role in Bnei Akiva in Rabbi Sacks' voice, which I put on YouTube. A few years later, at my wedding, I was amazed to see that Rabbi Sacks recorded a special Mazel Tov message to me and Dana. But imagine my surprise when he went on to say that he did actually hear and love my impression of him, which sounded more like him than he did, his words, and he offered me his job as his official clone. I spent many hours in shul with Rabbi Sacks, both at communal events and on Shabbatot. During that time, I never saw him lead a tefillah. It wasn't a chazan, except for once, when he came to Birmingham, where I was a student, for the shul's 125th anniversary in 2008. The shul asked him if he would like to daven, and he agreed to. He led Psukei Dzimra. I'm sure that the shul offered him a more keynote tefillah, but this was Rabbi Sacks' preference. And I've never heard a Psukei Dzimra led before or after with as much feeling, vigour, poetry or grandeur than that Shabbat morning in Birmingham. One of my best friends, R.A. Grossman, was with me for that Shabbat, and he had the unenviable job of following him as the Baal Shacharit. Every so often, when we spend Shabbat together, we remind ourselves of the most memorable line of Rabbi Sacks' davening, uttered with so much fervour and concentration. Hafachta mispati l'machon li betachta sakivit v'tazreni simcha l'man yizamecha chavod v'lo yidom Hashem Elokai le'olam odeka. You have turned my sorrow into dancing. You have removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may sing to you and not be silent. Lord my God, forever I will thank you. In September, same friend Arye interviewed Rabbi Sacks for the Koren Publishers podcast. His last question, and one of the last that Rabbi Sacks ever answered, was, how can we find happiness in the year ahead? Given that we already know, it will almost certainly bring further challenges. Rabbi Sacks says that he draws inspiration from Tehillim 30, Tehillim Lamed, Mizmor Shir Chanukat Abayit LeDavid, in which David HaMelech describes the feelings after passing through a period of great danger. Hafachta mispadi lemacholi pitachta saki v'tazreni simcha. He explained that as a musician, David HaMelech knew how to transmute negative energy into positive. He said that life may be hard, but there will always be moments of joy. It is our job to find those moments of joy and treasure them. Today is a day of deep sorrow and mourning for the entire world. I feel that I've lost my life role model, my greatest connection to greatness, and the guiding light, not just for my approach to Torah, but also to politics, society, morality, and life. But in time, we will cherish the memories, stories, and lessons, and Torah of Rabbi Sacks. And they will guide us through this and future challenges. They will push us to think more and lead more. They will thrust greatness onto us, and they will provide us with moments of joy. For living in the same generation as Rabbi Sacks, and to have known him, was a privilege, to which I will always say, Hashem Elokai, Le'olam Odeka.